Good morning, church family, and a very special hello. And I'm giving a wave to everyone this morning. That's as close as I can get to you. If I give you a hug, I put my arms out. And I'm so glad that you have been able to watch this recording and that will be shared in our live link on Sunday. And I want to say a very special hello too to those who are not regularly part of the Ringwood Community Church, but who are listening to our service today, whether by the live link or on the recording. I felt very connected with our church family watching over the live streaming Sundays. It's been so good. And I want to say a special thanks to everyone who has been part of that, and especially to my champion, Lockie, who's here with me today. Thanks, Lockie. You're great for the way you're using your skills to bless us all. Well, what sort of a week have you had? I wonder if life has gone the way you had planned. Yes, we all have experienced many changes and probably a few changes that we never would have asked for. For me, the past 2 weeks have had an added dimension as we have come to terms with the sudden death of my husband, Peter's close friend, as a result of a farming accident. 1 minute he's loading a cow onto a truck to go to market, and the next minute he's lying critically ill on the ground. And sadly, he lost his life here on earth. Attending a funeral with 10 people is a very sad thing, and grieving for the family has been so hard. We all now live with limitations because of COVID-19, with restrictions on our movements, and we cannot always get the groceries or the necessities we request. But our friend's death has put life into perspective for Peter and I, and have made us so aware of all that we do have. Our family is just like yours. We have one son who is out of work now. He was in the camping ministry. We have another that leads a retail organisation, and all their shops have now been closed. And there was much pain for him as his employees have had to be stood down. And another is in school management, and so many changes for him to work through. You know, if we could dialogue together now, I'm sure you would have your stories to tell of pain, of loss, of funds right down in your super, of missing the moments with family members. And maybe you had holidays booked and paid for, and now that is just a dream. It seems that life is very tough, and we do indeed find it a challenge to accept the change and to see God at work in the experience. I heard the treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, say on Monday that life is hard now and it will get harder. Today is Palm Sunday. The title for today's message is The Downward Path. Wow, Peter Keep chose this topic many months ago. How appropriate for the world that we live in today. We call today Palm Sunday because it is the Sunday before Easter when Jesus rode on the colt of a donkey into Jerusalem, and the people praise God and worship Jesus by cutting down palm branches to lay on the road as Jesus travelled by. And they called out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." What a day of celebration that was. So much happened in the next 4 days. In the Connect last week and again tomorrow, there will be a passion reading for the week. What a blessing this will be to you if you read each day from today until Easter Sunday. And I've put it up here on the PowerPoint for those who are listening and who do not get the RCC Connect. At the end of today's service, you can download the message, and then you can also download the PowerPoint so you'll be able to see what the readings are for each day. Now this morning, as we think about pain in our life, I want us to look at Jesus and how he dealt with being overwhelmed. There is such a precious lesson for us all. On the Thursday evening of Passion Week, Jesus and the disciples shared the Passover meal. And then late at night, Jesus and 11 of the disciples headed out. Judas, the 12th disciple, was about to betray Jesus, and he went off to prepare for that. I'm going to read now from a little book that I have had that puts Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in chronological order, and it's in the Living Bible. If you want to follow along at home, then maybe turn to the Luke 22, 39 to 46 passages. That's got most of the details, but not quite all of them. And before we do, let's just pray together. Holy Spirit, speak to us as we read God's word. In Jesus' name, amen. After saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Ravine with his disciples and entered in a grove of olive trees called the Garden of Gethsemane. He instructed his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be filled with horror and deepest distress. And he said to them, "My soul is crushed by sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me." And he went forward a little, and he fell face downward on the ground, and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup be taken away from me. Nevertheless, I want your will, not mine." Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him, for he was in such agony of spirit that he broke into a sweat of blood, with great drops falling to the ground, and as he prayed more and more earnestly. At last, he stood up again and returned to the three disciples and found them asleep. "Simon," he said, "asleep? Couldn't you watch with me for even an hour? Watch with me and pray, lest the tempter overpower you. For though the spirit is willing enough, the body is weak." Again he left them and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot go away until I drink it all, your will be done." He returned to them again, and he found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So he went back to prayer the third time, saying the same things again. Then he came back to his disciples, and he said to them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. But no, the time has come. I am betrayed into the hands of evil men. Up, let's be going. Look, here comes the man who is betraying me. You can visit this very garden that I've just read about called Gethsemane on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. Most tours of Israel spend time in the olive groves, and here are some photos that have been taken by tourists. Although the Apostle John refers to the place as a garden, it was not the same kind we would have today. Rather than a place to grow vegetables and other foods, it was a location where the planting and harvesting of trees producing olives, pomegranates, and figs took place. A scientific study has shown that the olive trees in the garden are some of the oldest in the world, approximately 2,000 years old. They were there when Jesus was in this garden. And here we see Jesus at a very low point in his life. Look at the language used of him. Matthew and Mark said he was deeply distressed and troubled. Jesus himself said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Can you identify with this? If you've been troubled and distressed, then know today that Jesus understands your pain. Jesus knew he needed physical support. And when he left the Passover meal, the 11 disciples followed him. When they got to the garden, Jesus told 8 of them to stay at the gate, and he took Peter, James, and John with him into the garden. This so encourages me to have friends who can support and encourage me in my deepest needs. There will be a smaller group of friends that I can share my cares with, who know me well and who will lift me up in times of need. Now we know that Peter, James and John could not stay awake. They were exhausted from sorrow. They had such a busy day with Jesus, and it was late into the night. Jesus was gracious to them. The second time when he came back and found them sleeping, he left them and returned to praying. I find this quite a challenge. Sometimes when our friends need us, it's not convenient. We're tired or troubled ourselves. But we need to keep on being open to the Holy Spirit's leading so we do not miss the God moments in our life. I've been so encouraged this week to have a number of phone calls from people to see how Peter and I are doing. Someone said to me when they rang, "God brought you to mind today, Kay, and I knew I should call you and pray for you." That is so special, and it allowed me to share the sorrow on our heart over our friend's death. You know, on Tuesday evening of the previous week, it was right on 6 p.m. I said to my husband, Peter, "Why don't you ring our friends and see how their daughter is getting on in Germany with the COVID-19. I knew it was running rampant there. Peter picked up the phone and he rang, and it was at that very moment that our friend was being taken by helicopter to Melbourne. We were part of that journey from then on, and later that night, his wife came and stayed with us. I have to be honest here. I do not always respond when the Spirit speaks to me. And I pray that out of this experience, it will make me even more aware when the Holy Spirit is calling me to be a support, even when I don't know what the need is. You know, last week at church, we were encouraged to be ready to tell our story of God at work as we journey with people. There is an opening in this fragile world that we now live in to share the hope that we can know in Jesus. That has certainly been my personal experience this week as I have shared my faith with the most unlikely people. Jesus too had spiritual needs, and he knew that he needed to talk to his heavenly Father. Jesus had visited this garden many, many times before. This was a place of prayer for him. Judas knew that. That is why he took the soldiers there when they arrested him at the end of his prayer time. Do you have a place of prayer where you go on a regular basis? Oh yes, praying in the car as you drive or on the train is great. How much more meaningful prayer is when we go to a private place where your heart can be open to God. It might be in bed first thing in the morning or last thing at night. Or you have a favourite chair where you sit. Jesus went a stone's throw away from Peter, James and John so he could be alone with God. I love the story of Susanna Wesley, born in 1669, a very long time ago. She had 19 children. 10 of them lived to adulthood. What a busy household that must have been. Her place of private prayer was to put her apron over her head for 2 hours each day to commune with God. When Susanna was under the apron, she was with God and was not to be disturbed except in the case of the most direst emergency. There in the privacy of her little apron tent, she interceded for her husband and children, and she plumbed the deep mysteries of God in the scriptures. This holy discipline that she developed equipped her with a thorough and profound knowledge of the Bible. Susanna knew that time with her children was also important. She educated both her sons and her daughters, unheard of back 300 odd years ago. And she set aside 1 hour per day to spend it with one child so that they had one-on-one time together. You know, two of her sons founded the Methodist Church, which led many people to faith in Jesus. Life at home may not be easy right now for families with children under their feet for 24 hours a day. I'd really encourage you to be creative and make this a special time, and most of all, grow your children's hearts towards God. And this is for both mum and dad. I know we're all busy. That's what we're used to saying. Well, most of us actually have just had our routines turned on their head. We now have extra hours because we're working at home. We're not attending meetings. We go in and out of the shop so quickly now. We're not entertaining family or friends. And yes, there are more hours in the day. I know that's different if you have children, but for the rest of us, that's how it goes. What a challenge. What do I do with those extra hours? As we pray and read God's word, we become more aware of God's character and how he works. Our mindset changes and realigns with God's ways. Matthew and Mark add that if we watch and pray, we will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Look at Jesus praying. He spent 3 hours praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. We don't have all the detail, just a few key points. As Jesus poured out his heart, he asked God, "If it was possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus knew what lay ahead: the arrest, the trial, the nailing to the cross, the burial, and then the resurrection. If there was another way, God, please step in. But there's also submission in his prayer, not for what he wants, but God's will be done. It was a struggle. It would be a rough road ahead, and he knew it. God sent an angel to strengthen him, and then the pressure gets even greater. And Jesus, being in great anguish, prayed even more earnestly, so much so that he sweat like drops of blood falling to the ground. They say it was possible in the moments of intense stress for capillaries to burst and blood to mix with perspiration. As Jesus agonized in prayer, that may well be what happened to him. Jesus prayed the same thing 3 times over. What an encouragement that is to us all. As so often when I keep on asking God for the same thing, I think, "Kay, God knows. You asked him for that last week. Don't ask again." But yes, we see from this passage, it's okay to keep on asking and be persistent and earnest. God knows our heart and the thing that weighs heavy on us. After this prayer, we see Jesus has found strength and renewal. Jesus returns to his disciples, and Matthew 26 records Jesus saying, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." What a change. Just a few hours ago, we were reading about Jesus being sorrowful and troubled and near the point of death. But now, he has renewed energy. Jesus is saying, it's time to rise up. Let's go. God's will be done. What a powerful lesson for each one of us today. Prayer strengthens us to face our difficulties more than it changes our circumstances. Prayer is not like a Christmas wish list, and it's not like taking away what we do not want. There is so much more to the story of Jesus and his downward path to the cross. We have just learned a little about the 3 hours or so that he spent in prayer very late, the night that he was arrested and the day before he was crucified. And we have the same resources that Jesus had. We have friends to share the journey. You do not need to feel alone. Let others know of your pain and ask them to pray with you and listen to your story. You can contact me and share your needs. If you're not from RCC and you need support, then use the church email on the webpage and we will follow you up. The church building may be closed, but not the church, the people of God. If you need special prayer today, then take time to find a place of prayer and journey with God. He longs to journey with you, to strengthen you, and to give you hope in a dark place. You may be in isolation, but God is not, and he is ready to dialogue with you. Read God's word so your faith is deepened and you know God's character. And if you're not part of a regular church, I'm glad you've tuned in today and you're listening to this. And you are very welcome to join us next week here at Ringwood Community Church. Let's just pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Son Jesus, who was willing to take on the cross, to die for our sin so that we can have relationship with our Heavenly Father. And thank you, Jesus, for your life that teaches us so much on how we need to live in a troubled world. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence with us, leading us in the way that we should go and helping us as we read the Bible to be more like Jesus. Oh Lord, for all who feel overwhelmed today, may they find hope and peace in Jesus. And this we pray in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.